Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say when something goes wrong in someone's life? Well, my guess is that you try to comfort them. And one way that we try to comfort people is by offering explanations for what might have happened. We might say something like, "You didn't get the promotion because someone was out to get you." Or we might say, "You didn't get the promotion because someone messed up the paperwork." Or even because you yourself messed up the interview. All of these are explanations that we might find ourselves offering to someone to whom bad things have happened. Now, these explanations might not be the real reason that something happened, but we're tempted to come up with to say things like this and to come up with our explanations anyway. Because sometimes it just feels better to have an explanation for why bad things happen. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You didn't try hard enough. You haven't been living right. We like cause and effect. And we don't like things that happen for no apparent reason. And Jesus' disciples didn't like things happening for no apparent reason either. Like many of us, they sought to make God responsible for events they did not understand. Why do bad things happen? The disciples essentially ask Jesus today, "What about those Galileans whom Pilate arranged to have killed? Why do bad things happen? What about those people who were killed when the tower fell on them? Did those bad things happen to them because they were sinful? Was God punishing them?" The disciples are mulling about all these things. You see, if we can come up with a reason why something bad happens, maybe we can avoid it happening to us. If we can identify the cause of a tragedy, maybe there won't be a tragedy the next time. If we can figure out how to prevent drivers from getting on the wrong side of the highway, perhaps we can eliminate fatal wrong-way crashes such as happened in Dayton this past week. If we can figure out what triggers cancer cells or other cells to start attacking their host, we can prevent cancer or Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's. If we can figure out why the Guatemalans are fleeing their country, maybe we won't have to build a wall. If we can move houses and towns out of the path of known natural disasters, maybe rising floodwaters or tornadoes or droughts, maybe they won't cause any damage the next time. These are all wonderful goals that we want to achieve. We want to prevent all of these bad things from happening again. But this kind of cause and effect thinking is seductive. It lures us into thinking that everything has an explanation. Everything could be fixed or solved or answered given enough time. We are tempted to think that all the bad things have a reason for happening. And sometimes we go so far as to think that the reason is the victim's fault. If you hadn't parked your car on the street, someone would not have smashed into your car door. If you hadn't gone to that party, you wouldn't have been date raped. In other words, if we carry this line of thinking far enough, you are responsible for all the bad things that happen to you. And the implication of that is, I don't have to feel sorry for you. In fact, I might even be able to indulge in condemning you. It is your own sin that caused these things to happen. But Jesus gives a different answer to his disciples. He says, "You think that the sin of these people caused the bad things to happen to them? Well, if bad things happened in that way, you would all be in trouble. And if God was in the business of meting out judgment in relation to our sins, there probably wouldn't be anyone left. There may, in fact, be some cause and effect for bad things that happen, but they do not happen because we deserve them. Bad things have a way of happening randomly. And sometimes that means they happen to the best among us. Sometimes that means they happen to those who least deserve the bad things. So when we are called upon to comfort others, our explanations often will not help. Especially blaming the victim does not help. Someone who has experienced terrible things does not want explanations. They do not want reasons. They want us to sit with them and simply bear witness to their pain. Simply listen to their story. All we have to do is hear about the bad things without saying anything at all. And that, my friends, is hard. But instead of speaking or explaining or judging, maybe we can be guided by this parable that Jesus goes on to tell the disciples after he reminds them that all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The parable is one where a barren fig tree is not bearing any fruits. In fact, for 3 years, the tree has not borne figs. And the owner is understandably frustrated and wants to cut the tree down. But the gardener suggests helping the fig tree to grow, cultivating the ground around the tree, fertilizing it, giving it another year, giving it another chance to bear fruit. Naturally, when we hear parables, we want to figure them out. And because this is the Bible, we think, well, where is God in this story? Is God the owner who is ready to cut down the tree and ready to judge it and blame it for not bearing fruit? Or is God the gardener who is willing to grant it another chance, willing to tend the soil and fertilize the tree and keep on hoping for fruit despite the tree's past history? And I think that an argument could be made either way. Possibly God is both the owner who judges and the gardener who offers a second chance. But we have no doubt that we are the fig tree. We equate the fig tree with ourselves and our need for another chance. But what if we go one step further? What if we equate that fig tree in need of help with the person to whom bad things have happened? What does that person need from us? The fig tree has not experienced any rain. It has bad soil. Maybe it's had a distracted gardener up till now. Maybe there have been grubs running around underneath the fig tree. Bad things have happened to that tree. It needs help. So a person to whom bad things have happened, do they need our judgment? Do they need our dismissiveness? Do they need us to distance ourselves from them? Do they need us to say, that tree, that person is wasting the soil, that person is a waste of my breath? Or do they just need a bit of manure, a helping hand, an opportunity for hope? We may not be able to offer high quality fertilizer, but I bet all of us could offer a bit of manure. How many of the children at the primary school are not bearing fruit? How many of the children at the primary school have been dismissed by their parents as slow or judged by a school system as having a behavior problem? How many of the children at the primary school are fig trees who need a helping hand? This past week, March 21st, was World Down Syndrome Awareness Day. And how many of those who are born with Down syndrome are written off? How many of them are assumed to have nothing to contribute to society, nothing but pain and trouble to bring to their families? And yet, that is a limited perspective, because with just a little bit of digging around the roots, a little bit of fertilizer, a little bit of attention and training, Down syndrome children can be among the happiest and most giving of children. They can be the ones who bring the most joy to their families. And if they can bring good news to the world, so can we. We do not deserve happiness and good health and good weather. They're simply gifts. And there is most often no explanation for them. We may have received loving care from our family and teachers. We may have strong DNA. We may have grown up in secure environments. But there are also strong, healthy, happy people who did not have any of those advantages. And those with fewer advantages have not sinned and are not deserving of bad things. Instead, God reaches out to us and to those who are suffering, blessing us and offering second and third chances. And this is not cheap grace. This is not forgiveness without accountability. This is a loving parent who wants the best for us. After all, Jesus came to give us life and life abundant. He came and he lived and he taught and he healed and then he went to the cross, all for us. Jesus' death wasn't an unfortunate accident that happened. It is the way that God's love for us is made known in self-sacrificial offering. How far will God go for us? Will God simply give us what we deserve? Or will God give us chance after chance after chance? Is God only interested in the quid pro quo? Or will God defy reasons and explanations? Sometimes bad things do happen for a reason, but for a reason that goes beyond our rational explanations. Who could have expected that Jesus would die for us? Who could have expected that God would give of God's self in this way? We are the fig tree that has been saved. We have been set aside for extra nurture. We have been set aside for a second chance. And everyone deserves that from us as well. It is not our sins that bring about bad things in our lives, nor is it our virtues that bring about good things in our lives. We're all at the mercy of an unfair world, and we are called to support each other, to extend second chances, to be the gardener, willing to get down in the dirt to help each other. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.